Interviews with Haunting Gurus.
Let's welcome in our Haunting Guru guest, Brett Baker, no relation, from Creepy Hollow Haunted House, deep in the heart of Texas. What's up, Brett?
Yeah.
Brett?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, try to hang with me, man. I know it's a bumpy ride, but, you know, it's like grabbing onto that steer, man. Just do that. All right. So, actually, I don't know if you are deep in the heart of Texas. Whereabouts is your haunt located, and where would that be in relationship to the state? Like, where would we find you?
We're in Texas on the Gulf Coast, just south of Houston.
Okay, south of Houston. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are the GPS coordinates?
I don't have the GPS coordinates currently,
right,
but we're in
most
close here.
Look those up and get back to me.
Okay.
So we can pinpoint you. How many years have you been in business?
Creepy Hollow has been in business since 2012. We've been at that location. We've had 17 months, actually, on site. But I've been haunting since 2002. I started at my house, took it to a... I would jump out of the bushes with my chainsaw raring and run down the Power Rangers mercilessly, and that was fun, but it was funner with the teenagers. So I was like, I need more teenagers. So I went to the local community center and I said, look, I just love to scare the crap out of people. Can I come here and scare people? And I helped them put theirs on the first year, and then they didn't have it the next year. And so I missed it, which I'm sure you can understand. So the year after that, I came with two fully themed haunted houses and said, why don't you let me take over? So then I was under the city raising money for charity. Then I got an abandoned fire station in the center of town. Creepy place. And went in there, did two haunted houses in there called, one was called Hollywood Horrors, and another was Mutant Madness. That went really well. And then the next year, we couldn't find a location with the city. So I joined up with a fireworks warehouse and built the 288 Scare Factory, which is one of the haunted houses out at Creepy Hollow now. We spent a few years on a farm, and eventually relations wound down with them too. And we realized that being a gypsy, we weren't going to get it to where we needed to be. So finally we bought property and Creepy Hollow became a reality.
Is it like a section of land that you guys have now?
Yeah. Creepy Hollow is a haunted attraction. We have three major haunts. One of them is the 288 Scare Factory, which is a mobile viral genetic research facility of Nuvagenesis Corporation that was located on the property out there to study the ample population of feral hogs since that unfortunate incident when we lost our human test subject credentials, basically ground zero of the zombie apocalypse. This is an industrial haunt with a small amount of a steampunk edge that's in your face, hardcore industrial haunt. And that's the 288 Scare Factory. That's my baby that's actually mobile, and I had it when I was on the farm. So that one's, it's 5 years, running haunted house that's actually mobile, built in conic storage containers. One of the first scenes in that haunt was built with help in one of the episodes of HauntCast. You guys helped me out with my lab.
Really?
When I was playing, yeah, I was doing my three axis skulls, and I said, I need some help with my three axis skulls, and I told you about the lab, and you actually featured it in one, and that lab is still there today. It's still up. I have a set up with an SSC32 servo controller with a relay board off of that, and then I can also run LEDs. So basically, I can run my whole haunt Connex off an old laptop. And so that's just my nerdy fun part of the haunt. The Scare Factory starts off kind of clean and orderly with a hazmat scene that you come in through, and then it starts to decay and it starts to degrade, and it gets worse and worse and worse until toward the end you're in holy hell.
And this is a series of how many rooms do you cross through, or different scenes do you go?
Let's see, probably 15 or 16 scenes that you go through in that haunt. Well, there's indoors and outdoor portions because you weave in and out of them. Let me see. I have four connexes and the spaces between them of four. That's probably 16 or 18 rooms that you go through in there.
Nice. That's one of three.
One of three. One of the rooms in there is my spiked wall that I talked to you about that I spent most of last year building. And it's a pretty crazy original prop that we made. Basically, we had built the gate, and the gate was this awesome entry gate for our facility, and it had these spiked finials on the top, and I had a bunch left over, and I thought, you know, what if we took these and rammed them into the patrons? I think that would be fun. So we started putting it together, and the first one I built was kind of a crazy hybrid, and we had it fenced in, and it was scary, but I probably lost more sleep than the patrons coming through, and we rebuilt it this last year. And
so,
now it's
so they walk through, and it's got this spiked-looking piece, and it closes in on them, and it like
right.
touches it, them
exactly.
If they're within a certain distance of it, it will hit them, but you know they usually probably jump back or something.
Well, it's actually
they just take it face on.
It's actually caged where it's at, but there's holes in the cage, and the spikes fit through the holes in the cage. So when it's coming at you, you get the illusion that these spikes are going to penetrate you. And you can't really put it in the exact space with them because these are real spikes, and it's really pneumatically driven, and you really could shish kebab someone in there if you wanted to. What happens, they're coming through.
Excellent.
They're coming through, and when it's activated, it's, of course, it's timed off of the lights and the action and it's going, the lights start flickering, they come through, and it fires off, psh, psh, and when it's coming, it comes and the spikes come almost to the end, and then they back off, and then they bounce, and then it hits hard about halfway down the platform. Now, the platform we had to build is part of the whole prop, and when they're walking on the platform, the spikes come, and right before they hit them, the spikes actually hit the platform and drive the platform into the wall. So there's spikes coming. And then it rams and it hits them, and the rails and everything that they're standing on is just slammed to the wall. So there's their platform they're standing on moves as they're hit by the spikes. And of course it maintains a certain distance, and but it's just crazy. It's built so solid. It looks like it's from NASA.
Is that your favorite scene in that haunt?
Yeah.
Is it? Definitely.
Yeah, it is. You know, my favorite thing about my haunt and my favorite thing about all my haunts is our dedicated volunteers. We have a team of dedicated volunteers that just do it because they love to scare. And, you know, and we raise money for local charities.
Scare if you care.
Because we scare because we care. That's right. Yeah, we have a team of volunteers. I mean, when we first started, we had some kids and we had a lot of high school students, but we've been doing it so long that most of them have grown up, and there's very few high school students anymore, mostly young adults that have been with us for years.
Yeah, I noticed some cool stuff that happened this year for you. Kick off 2014, you were part of the HauntCon tour.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that was an amazing experience, Chris. I've been going to HauntCon for... that was my fourth HauntCon. I went there in Houston, and then in Florida, and up in Dallas, and then back to Houston. And this time we actually got to be on the haunt tour. And they went to all the haunts in our area and checked them out, and we were one of the last ones. And the feeling of having haunt owners from all over the country, you know, come out of your haunt and run up to you and almost rip your arm off, you know, shaking your hand at how much they loved your show. It's just, there's really no way to describe it. It's just amazing. It was awesome. There was a lot of love. And I think the reason that they liked our show, I haven't told you about the whole show, is because we got a really balanced full show. So so there's three haunts. There's the Scare Factory, which is my baby I've been building for years. We have a haunt that's called Pitch Black that starts with a 3D clownscape and ends up in complete darkness. And then we have another one that's called the Dark Woods, which was the one we put a lot of work into this year. Our Dark Woods, what happened out there in the woods that's attached to the property where the factory is we've been dumping all the waste materials out there. And there was a family of cannibals out there when we got there in the first place. And the family of cannibals What happened is in this area, all up and down, there's vagrants that just live in the area, and they'll just build shacks. And this particular family of vagrants just ate the people that came in off the highway just to kind of keep things going. But we have a lot of Q-Line entertainers, and we have just a great cast of Q-Line entertainers that keep people going between the shows. So we have the caretaker, who was the one who dumped all the stuff in the woods. We have Molly, who's just she's an amazing character. She's the daughter of the caretaker. She is only comforted by the dolls of the little girls that she eats. And then when she gets tired of them, she mutilates them, and then she meets more little girls and more dolls to mutilate. But she's just fantastic. And then we have Mr. Melty Face, who was from the Pitch Black. We got a Black Widow. We have a character named Wilbur, who's a mobile viral genetic researcher from Nuvagenesis. We have a dancing cow. We got a big baby head booger running around. We've got these tall walking creatures. One of them has four legs. One of them's a scarecrow that's 7 feet tall, walking around out there. And then we have a slider. He's just amazing. He hits people 2 and 3 times as they're coming out. I know sliders are big up north, but it's not something that you see very much down south. So we have actually a freak show. That's another thing that's in our queue line area. We have a fire spinner named Mr. R. Sonist, and his partner Ares the contortionist, and those guys are just pure showmen. And when you put together all that entertainment outside while you're standing in line before you even go into a haunt, it really gives a nice feel. Also, Creepy Hollow is located in a nook that is close to town but outside of town, and before you get to it, there's like nothing. And then we're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it gives you the feeling that we're in the middle of nowhere, but right next to town. But it gives you the feeling that something may actually happen to you there, and it just might.
Now, just might. Yeah. The haunt is outdoors, like the haunts, or there's three individual building, or you know, kind of separate areas for the different haunts. But it's pretty much a lot of wide open, you know.
Exactly. One of my theories about haunting is if someone tells you they got three haunts, then I want to know when I go from one to the next, what's the difference, and how are they similar and how are they different. And that's one thing that we have really clear out there. There's three different lines that you go to for three different haunts. Two of them are in buildings, one of them is an actual entire forest, and then there's a lot of space in between. Now, some of the other things we have in the space in between, this year we put in a World of Oddities, kind of a homage to the turn of the century freak shows, that is right there with our freak show entertainers, and you know, Fiji Mermaid, Chupacabra, the aliens, and pixies and fairies, and it's almost like a museum when you go through. And that's just another throw in. And then also we're building an attraction that's called the Bus Adventure. And there's some things in there that I haven't seen anywhere before. And so that's another original. We like to make our own stuff and do as much as we can ourselves.
I had somebody comment the other day. I think it was maybe Vic the Undertaker Eyes. And he was talking about my haunt, and he just said something about, I've never seen anybody do like a Tar Mire type haunt like you do, and you have all these different creatures, and you make these new creatures every year. I you know, it's just very different. Nobody's doing it, and that's why I do it. I do it because nobody else is doing it. I want to have something that's a little bit more unique. Everybody seems to have, you know, the skeletons and the graveyard and flying crate ghost and a lot of the basics.
Right.
I do have an FCG as well, and I do have a graveyard. I'm trying to do something a little bit different, and I'm just doing this on a small scale. But it sounds like you're doing it on a big scale. You can't be a sheep, damn it!
Exactly. That's it. And actually,
bull. You know, take the lead.
On the scale thing too, there's even more elements out there. We have vendors that we bring in. We have food vendors. We just created a whole row of vendor booths available, where we have our own t-shirt vendor. We have a contact lens vendor that we're actually going to have our own line of contacts next year. They'll have Creepy Hollow Haunted House logo on all the contacts that are sold out there. You know, basically, we just like to entertain them from the time they get out of the car until they get back to the car. There's fire pits for them to hang out around, custom star-shaped fire pits, multiple stages. It's just a...
Do you sell booze?
We don't sell booze.
Okay. Is it BYOB?
And
no, not
we,
at all.
We probably won't have booze during the haunt season because I know plenty of people get a little bit of liquid courage before they come.
Oh,
and
of course.
Sometimes that can create problems when you're administrating a haunt.
Yeah, I heard the Bloodshed Brothers talking about how they had alcohol available.
You know, alcohol makes money and it's something to consider, but it also creates a lot of problems for the people.
A lot of liability.
In the haunts. And we
you don't want somebody getting shit-faced and rolling through and punching your actors. And all.
Right. Actually, we have two county sheriff's officers on site in case someone does get a little froggy.
There you go. Keep the cops close. What is the Dark Quest?
The Dark Quest was a live-action role-playing event that we put on out there. And the thing about it was that is our Dark Woods is such an amazing trail to walk through with so many different scenes and stage sets all the way through, so many different elements. I mean, we've got a mine shaft with huge monsters in it, and we got our graveyard. Most everything in it is real. I mean, the tombstones are solid. They're 500 pounds of granite. It's just an amazing place. And so, in my childhood, I used to like to do a little sword fighting, and I kind of picked that up again lately for fun. So we had almost like a Renaissance Festival event, where people camped out at our haunted house for the whole weekend. We fought in two of the haunted houses, and then there was a big singing competition with people telling stories around the fire, and there was definitely alcohol for that, and it was a blast. I had a huge, great time.
You guys open up every Friday the 13th?
Every Friday the 13th, yep. Our next one is going to be June, Friday the 13th of June. And the good thing about that is, it gives us an opportunity to get our haunting family back together, to come out and play and keep in touch with each other. So it's kind of fun. And I'm told that with years of continuity, that can turn out to be a pretty good day.
Do you have any keys to success? I mean, obviously, you've been doing pretty well with this, and you've only been in the business for a pretty short period of time. So
yeah,
you're doing many things right, it seems.
Well, I think the secret to success is hard work, so I don't mind telling everyone the secret. It's just, I mean,
you just can't sit on your ass and pick your nose and smoke pot and eat Cheetos and shit, and that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it's busting your hump all the time, but it's also marketing. My partner at Creepy Hollow, his name's Harold Lax. He was a DJ before when we first started doing the haunted house for charity. Since then, he's gone to college and gotten a degree in marketing and graphic design. And he's just a dynamo when it comes to marketing and always looking for things. We have a lot of corporate sponsors that we work with. We were sponsored by Pizza Hut last year. Now we're Monster Energy Drink, and we're working on some other big ones that I can't say while they're in the works. But every bit of that makes a difference. What's the key to success is having a team of people that are passionate about what they're doing and then listening to them. So we have a passionate group of volunteers that really enjoy what they're doing. And we all come together and we throw parties several times a year. And while we're at the parties, people say, you know what would be awesome? Hey, it would be great if we, hey, you know, in that place, let's try. And we work on it and we build it and we make stuff happen. It's good. If you have actors that are working in an area that they become invested in that area, I've spent long periods of time building a. One year I built a coffin that the lid pops up, then the corpse thrashes around and the door closes, and it did some other stuff, multi-part sound, light, everything all together, and then I had two people work that scene, and what they did was they used my coffin for a pole vault. For a pommel vault. As one guy, instead of pushing the button to trigger the coffin, this guy was jumping over the coffin, which was an amazing feat. This dude was jumping about 6 feet in the air from flat-footed. I don't know how he did it, but when you get hyped up and you're haunting, it's just crazy. what people can do. But it kind of dented my coffin. But had I worked with those guys from the beginning, I would have just not put someone in that scene and let it be a filler in between the things that actually get you. But yeah, you gotta work with your people and find out what excites them and put it all together.
No, most importantly, so you're a Hauntcast subscriber.
Yes, actually, yeah, from the beginning, right? So I was with you when you were on iTunes, and
how did you come across Hauntcast to begin with?
Actually, iTunes. I was doing a search on haunting stuff when I got my first iPhone, and that's when I found you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So you kind of defined what was a podcast, and it's really the only podcast I've ever completely listened to. I subscribed to couple others, but nothing ever took off like you guys. One thing I want to tell you, Chris, when I'm out there working in the haunt, sometimes by myself, and it's nice to get a quiet moment so you can think and work by yourself.
Yeah.
That I'm usually not alone, man, because I kick on my phone and there's the Scream Team, and it keeps my motivation up.
It's good to hear, man. No, people like you who have supported the show and stayed with it, and you know, subscribed. You know, and you know, it means everything. We wouldn't have gone 5 years if it wasn't for some of the minions like yourself. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and it'd be nice to have a break from things for a while. You know, to see. I mean, you know, who knows? But it's just, I definitely am so busy right now. It is really, really hard to put out the show, and it's not easy because we try to put out something quality. As you know, you have to bust your ass, you have to spend the time, you have to put the effort in to put out a quality product. Anybody can jump on and record themselves talking into their, you know, computer mic, or have two people babbling on Skype and record it. Anybody can do that. What we do is a lot more than that, and that's, you know, it takes a lot of effort out of people, and it takes, you know, over the years, it gets to be a lot of friggin' work and a lot of time invested. So, hey, it's been a great ride, and I've loved it, and it's been a lot of fun. All right, cool. So why don't you, you know, pimp out all your URLs, domain names,
okay,
your Skype stuff or Facebooky things and all that other crap.
Yeah, we're creepyhollowhauntedhouse.com. We're on every social media there is, Facebook, Twitter. Actually, Harold does all that. So
Pinterest?
I'd imagine. What are some of the other ones he's got?
Creepy Hollow Haunted House in Texas. You know, because you can Google, and I think there's some other people who use that same thing out there. So make sure you double check that it's in Texas.
Right.
Damn it. Oh, I noticed that you guys were voted the scariest in Texas by the staff of Creepy Hollow Haunted House.
Yeah, but it is also off of the, there was a Trans World, a Haunt World survey that was up, and we were consistently on the top of that Haunt World survey for
sweet. So it wasn't just your staff who was voting.
Right. Of course, our staff is down with that, but it's been consistent.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, it's consistently been on Haunt World.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And it was good talking with you, Chris.
It was great talking to you, and we'll catch you around the net.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.